We're in our gospel. We're in Luke chapter 21 on this Wednesday of this 34th week. We only have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, which will tell us, if you remember, every year, it'll tell us about the end of the world. One year it's Matthew, next year Mark, next year Luke. Now this year, cycle A, it'll be Matthew. Our Lord's prediction about things ending. In this text, we have the Lord's warning. In the book of Revelation, we have the other side of this. It's amazing how the texts seem to work out that way. We have here a vision of heaven. I saw in heaven another sign. Another sign. You remember what the first sign was? Probably not. It's a long ways back. It's in chapter 12. I saw a sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the stars under her feet. And now another sign. Great and awe-inspiring. Seven angels with the seven last plagues. For through them, this translation, God's fury is accomplished. Fury evokes the notion of a lot of emotion. He's really mad, you know. The word is wrath. Now, the wrath of God, you see, first place, God has no emotions. And secondly, he sent his son to save the world. So what is God's wrath? God's wrath is our experience of the incredible power of his love when we're in sin. And it feels like rejection. And it's the power of his love. But it's wrath. And it will continue to be wrath if we refuse the love. But it's just that when we're in sin, we just can't stand the overwhelming power of his love and majesty. Is that clear? You see, like the wrath of God is revealed on all the impiety and so forth there in Romans. You know, it's the same thing. It's the consequences of being unable to stand in the presence of God. Okay. And they have the seven last plagues. And now, then I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. This is the sea. It's meant to tell us, in other words, as I've mentioned, several, you don't even need me to mention, you can hear it yourself. This is filled with such symbolism. Huh? The sea, that's the sea that the Israelites went through. Of glass, you see, it's sparkling now. Mingled with fire. And on the sea of glass were standing those who had won the victory over the beast, and its image, and the number that signified its name. And how did they win the victory? They were faithful to Jesus. They stayed faithful to Jesus. Whether they were persecuted, or whether they just had a difficult time, or whatever, they were faithful to Jesus. So, they won the victory over the beast, and its image, and the number that signified its name. They were holding God's harps. Now, this is supposed to give us a glimpse of what God has in store for us for all eternity. And it's to tell us, you know, things are difficult, and they'll probably get more difficult. But remember where you're going. Remember what you're being called to. And that is secure in the blood of Christ. They were holding God's harps. And they sang the song of Moses. That's the song after the going through the sea. You remember that? It's in the book of Deuteronomy. All right. So they sang the song of Moses, rejoicing that he had just been freed, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And then this song is just a pastiche of praises from the Psalms and elsewhere. Nice to know, isn't it? That we're practicing now. when we sing the Psalms. We're practicing. We're getting ready for heaven. All the Psalms, deliver me, O Lord, from my suffering. We won't sing them anymore. But these we'll sing. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, or glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you for your righteous acts. Your justice has been revealed. And we will be in awe at the truth and the compassion and the righteousness and the justice of God's acts. Perfect. Perfect. And more than perfect. Filled with love and mercy and righteousness and truth. For all those who have tried to serve him and have faced especially difficulties. Huh? Everybody faces difficulties. But you see, he's getting ready to tell us about the seven last plagues, which are the worst. But before he does, he says, stop. Look at where we're going. Look at the meaning of your life. This is it. To be filled with love and gratitude and mercy and security. It's over. I can never lose it. I will be with you forever. So let's sing. And that's great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O ineffable God, unspeakable, incomprehensible, always existing, always the same. You are ineffable, and yet you are close to us. Who will not fear you, O Lord? Who will not hold you in reverence and want to do your every will, your every wish, or glorify your name? Praise you. Praise you. For you alone are holy. You alone are ineffable. Transcendent. God. And we have all eternity with him. That's the message. And that's what we get ready now, you see. We're going to go through Advent, yearning for a new presence of Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our culture. Yearning for it. Praying for it. And then his presence. As a child. God. As a child. And so he's giving us, there'll be another glimpse, of course, at the end of the book, when the heavenly Jerusalem, all those who have been faithful to God, all those who have let him change their lives, they all come down from heaven. And there they are, the bride of the Lamb. And the whole thing is consummated. You see, I was debating saying this, oh my goodness, I did that. Well, I'll tell you quickly. Years ago, we had a great big ecumenical gathering, 70-some-odd thousand, was in the Kansas City Chiefs football stadium. It was in 77. And during the middle of that, Bob Mumford, one great evangelical preacher, with a southern accent, said, I don't know why we Christians were always so sad. We're always so down in the dumps. You pick up your Bible, you open to the last page, and Jesus wins. All 70,000 people just cracked up. We were praising and laughing for about 20 minutes. And then he said, we just had a Holy Ghost breakdown. When I was reading this morning, I thought of Bob Mumford. That was a long time ago now. 30 years and more. Okay.